This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott today. I want you to picture the number five, a big number five. Now, I want you to imagine it's alive. Is it a man or a woman? How would you describe five's personality? Is he or she a casual, laid-back number, or maybe a more serious, even unhappy kind of digit? Or if you met five at a party, do you think you'd get along? As strange as this exercise may seem, humans have long saddled numbers with gender, identities, mystical or religious symbolism, with superstition, and even with personality traits. Author Alex Belos explores that emotional relationship and much, much more in his new book, The Grapes of Math, How Life Reflects Numbers and Numbers Reflect Life. Alex, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So you write that the first recorded evidence of numeric symbols show that we were already sort of giving them human characteristics. How so?
That's correct. So the first time we developed symbols and words for numbers was about 5,000 years ago in Mesopotamia, or Sumer, which is where Iraq is now. And the very first words that were used for one and two are the same words used for man and woman. So right from the beginning, there's this identification of odd numbers with male characteristics and two with woman and female characteristics. And you see this also very strongly in the beginning of mathematics, as we know it, say the ancient Greeks, and Pythagoras, who is kind of the leader of this kind of cult that had really interesting metaphysical views about number. And one of their strong views was that odd numbers were masculine and even numbers were feminine. And they actually kind of justified their rather sexist worldview using that, because they said, look, if you take an odd number and you add it to an even number, say 3 and 2, you get 5, which is an odd number. So odd plus even is always odd, which somehow symbolizes the fact that odds are dominant over evens, and therefore how man is dominant over women. So what interests me as a mathematician is how numerical properties somehow influence our emotional understanding and our psychological responses to numbers. You know, lots of people can have different favorite numbers or think that numbers mean different things, and those are all going to be very sort of personal. But I was interested more, is there any kind of collective way that humans, in general, interpret numbers, respond to them, because of their numerical characteristics?
Right. Well, it seems like we have something of a schizophrenic relationship with some numbers. You know, I'm thinking about some prominent numbers in superstition, in even the arts. 7 and 13 are both examples I think of that can be, depending on how you look at them, maybe ominous, unlucky, or very lucky numbers, favorable numbers.
Yeah, I think that when I started to look at how we respond to numbers, it was pretty clear very early on that the numbers that have most mystical and mythical associations are the low, odd, and prime numbers. So prime numbers are the numbers like 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, which only divide by themselves in 1. And I thought, well, isn't this odd? You know, you go to the most ancient myths, and it's, you know, 7 brides for 7 brothers, 7, you know, halls in heaven, all the different religions all over the world really focus on specific numbers, 7 in particular. 13 is something much more recent and is only in the kind of Western tradition. Mm. And 13 is essentially unlucky. 7 is the one that's lucky. And to me, it's not a coincidence that people have chosen to invest more mysticism in indivisible numbers. And when I looked in to see if there are any psychological reasons, you can actually discover that there are some interesting psychological experiments that maybe explain a little bit about why this is the case.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was reading your book, they're rare. Prime numbers, the higher you get, the harder they are to find. And there's something always about something rare that we're very attracted to.
Well, these are the high prime numbers, but most people can't tell you whether 101 is prime or not. It's
right.
Too complicated unless they've been told. Whereas people subconsciously know that 7 is prime. The classic sort of experiment that will reveal that, really, is just, I would say to you or to anyone, and this is an experiment that lots of people have done in psychology departments, think of a number from the top of your head between 1 and 10. Most people will think of a 7. Now, why are they doing that? They're doing that because thinking of the first number that comes to the top of your head between 1 and 10, you wouldn't choose 1 because that just seems kind of boring. Or you wouldn't choose 10 because that doesn't seem arbitrary or random enough. And also you wouldn't choose 5, it's exactly halfway. So there's this idea that actually what you've just done there is like the 5 and the 2 times table. You eliminate all the numbers that you can either multiply to get there or to divide to get there, and the only one that's left is the number 7, because the number 7 is numerically unique among the first 10 numbers, because it's the only one that you cannot multiply any of the others or divide any of the others within the group to get it. And I think that we just instinctively understand that. We understand that 7, it's a bit more complicated. We need to think about it for a little bit longer. It doesn't really fit in. And that, to me, is the only plausible reason why 7 is so redolent with mysticism and has been amongst all cultures through all time.
I'm speaking with Alex Bellos, the author of The Grapes of Math, How Life Reflects Numbers and Numbers Reflect Life. And we're talking about the personality, the gender, the suspicions behind numbers, the way we give numbers human characteristics. So you and I have something in common. Neither of us have a favorite number. I don't know why, but it's never occurred to me to have one. But you did a pretty big internet survey, and you found out that lots of people have favorite numbers and reasons for having favorite numbers. Tell us a little bit about what you discovered in that process.
Yeah, well, this is the great love that dare not speak its name, the love that people have for numbers. So as you say, I don't really have a favorite number. But as a math popularizer, I would go and give talks. At the end of the talks, people would always ask me to, you know, any questions I would say, and they'd say, yeah, what's your favorite number? And this would just infuriate me because I thought they were demeaning me. They were kind of just trivializing what I was talking about. Yeah. Until I then asked the question back, and I said, well, what's your favorite number? And then I would get I got a very kind of rational, considered response, you know, 12. And they had, really? You've got a favorite number? And there was a kind of murmuring from the audience. And I said, well, who here? Seriously, you know, you're all grown-ups, has a favorite number. And more than half the audience put their hand up. And I thought, oh my God, this is now really interesting. So I, you know, with the internet, making, you know, internet surveys are quite easy things to set up. I thought, is there a way that I can try and quantify this emotional responses to numbers and what people's favorite numbers are? Are there any, you know, overall themes? So I set up this website. It was on favoritenumber.net. And now if you go to favoritenumber.net, it has all the results. And I was just amazed at the interest that it caused.
So what exactly did you find out?
There are general collective opinions that we tend to have about numbers. So firstly, we tend to like or find as favorites odd numbers better than even numbers. And the ones that we like the least are round numbers. So 10, no one really likes 10. Whereas 7 feels much more interesting. Obviously, 7 won with about 10%. And I also quantified all the reasons that people gave. And so the most popular reason for giving a favorite number, I was born on that day, therefore it's my favorite number.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you were born on the 7th or, say, the 13th, you're very likely to choose the 7 or 13 as your favorite number. But if you're born on the 25th or the 30th, you're very unlikely to choose it as your favorite number. So it's not just that dates are important to people. It's dates with certain numbers feel more resonant than other numbers. I mean, one of the reasons why I don't really have a favorite number is I was born on the 22nd, which is not a particularly, yeah, I guess it's got two twos, but it's not a particularly memorable number in the way that 3, 7, or 13 is. I don't know, what day were you born on? Maybe that explains why you don't have a favorite number.
Yeah, the 26th.
Well, exactly, 26th. No one really chooses that
yeah.
as their favorite number.
One of the things that I loved about your survey is that you not only discovered people's favorite numbers, but also that people give, you know, very, very human qualities to these numbers. For example, I think one, you have qualities like independent, strong, honest, brave, straightforward.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So what I did is that I went and I took the adjectives used to describe the number, different numbers, and just put them together. So words that people use to describe number one, independent, strong, brave, pioneering, lonely, are all actually quite masculine qualities, which ties into what we were saying just before, that this connection between gender and numbers. Two, cautious, wise, pretty, fragile, sympathetic, quiet, flexible. Again, quite feminine adjectives. And it's funny because when I had my launch in London, and a friend of mine who's quite a well-known novelist came over to me, and she said, oh, so I was reading this stuff about gender and numbers, and Of course, it's obvious. I've always thought that. I've just never brought it up because I just assumed everyone else thought exactly the same thing. And I was like, well, this is fascinating. Why? And she said, well, that's obvious because odd numbers are a bit more spiky. They're a bit more male, whereas even numbers which can sort of divide, sort of split in two, which is almost like kind of giving birth. It's a very kind of feminine attribute. And this is someone who thought, you know, almost a super smart person, thought this was so common that she never bothered to bring it up because she thought it was obvious.
I'm really taken aback because just in the office when we were talking about your book, our senior producer, Maureen, she said the same thing. She said she's always given numbers sort of little identities, and it's never been something I've ever done. So it seems so alien to me.
Yes, I'm kind of with you in the sense that I've never had favorite numbers and I've never looked at numbers and thought, oh, that number is like such and such a person. But when I started to think about it, I definitely have different feelings towards odds and evens. I mean, there's another psychology experiment which also explains why we might see odds as different to evens. Imagine you're just shown two digits. Either both are odd, or both are even, or one is even and one is odd. So either say 2-4, that's both even, 3-5, that's both odd, or 2-3, even odd. All you're supposed to do when you're seen to see these two numbers is press a button if they're both the same, so when they're two even or two odd. It turns out that we're much faster pressing the button when they're too even, and we're much slower when they're too odd, and also when both of them are odd, we make more mistakes. So there's this idea that actually it takes our brains longer to process odd numbers than even numbers. So it's not surprising that we invest it with more emotion.
Like they're literally harder to grasp.
Absolutely, and there's one way that actually the English language does us a disservice in understanding this, because we have two completely different words for odd and even, the word odd and the word even. They're not related at all. In all the other of the world's major languages, French, Russian, German, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, the word for odd is just not even. So you have even and not even numbers. So it's evenness precedes oddness as a psychological idea and as a way we process it.
Well, Alex, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much.